You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, welcome to Limbrookwood this morning. We've finished in the book of Hosea. We were a number of weeks through in Hosea, and now we're actually into a new series here this week. That new series is in Matthew 5. We're going to start in Matthew 5. So if you've got a Bible and you want to see where we're going this morning, open up your Bibles, Matthew 5. That's where we're going to be heading. As I was preparing this series, scarily enough, it is that run-up to Christmas. We look at that bit. Christmas is looming. I think there's already things in some of the shops. Certainly, if you go and have a Sunday lunch in a pub, I'm sure you're going to be able to book your Christmas dinner already. So people are preparing for Christmas. They're getting in early. And as I was thinking about that, let's embrace that Christmas season. Sometimes people go, oh, it's a big thing in the church calendar and we just don't need all of that. Let's carry on with where God's at. Do we really need to stop for Christmas? But actually, when a community embraces Christmas, I think we've been saying before, we need to find those rhythms. What is it that people naturally do? And how do we bring the gospel into that? How do we make that come alive? So hopefully there's going to be some really exciting things happening in and around Christmas this year. Watch this space, more news to come. But I was looking over 2017 and what God was saying. We ended up, for those that are visitors amongst us this morning, this is our motto verse for the year. So that one's been put up there. And that has been our motto verse. Our first service at the beginning of the year was based around that. And as it happened, we ended up in Hosea. And we were talking about breaking up our unplowed ground, about getting our soil right. And it was all about 2017. Now, when I first came to Limbrookwood, we did the very first series I did was Living Well. Who said that? Hey, Dave's in there, you see. It's not up on the screen yet, is it? There you go, Living Well. And we had this whole thing about living well, a theme that kept coming around time and time again. As I was new here, I'm saying, God, what do you want to say to us as your people here? And one of the things that kept coming around was that assurance of the Father. As people, I felt we didn't have that assurance. God says, I am for you. And he gives us his assurance. And for a lot of us, we don't have maybe an assurance of a father or of a parent. And we feel really, really vulnerable, almost like a defeated people. And I really felt God saying, no, you've got to have my assurance. I am for you. I've done it all. You don't have to do anything. This is my gift to you. You have that complete assurance that I am for you. It should make us feel secure in him. And I ask the question, how are we wired? Are we living well? Are we living well in all we do? Now, I was speaking to Terry about what this 2017 was all about, our treasurer. They're away off on holiday at the moment. And I was talking about 2017. Now, if you've seen our 2017, if I put it up on there, for those who remember, God was talking to me about 2017, and you've seen this a few times if you've been before. And God was saying, actually, 2017 is really important because what it looked like was more like soil. And as God was talking to us about 2017, it was about the soil. And we were bemusing about what 2018 might look like. So if you stick 2018 up for me, if you take that and you rotate it, what does that look like? Go on, the 8 looks like a B. I-O-S, BIOS, BIOS. Now, some people are going to say computers. You know what BIOS is, don't you? Have I got a picture of BIOS? I don't know if I have. Have I? No, I've only got the... So a BIOS, it's something. When you turn your computer on, the BIOS comes up. And what does the BIOS do? It's a little bit of software that tells the computer how to operate. It connects everything up. Your keyboard, your mouse, and the way your computer works. If the BIOS is not in place, how to function, your computer cannot work. It's called a BIOS. You're very pleased about learning that, aren't you, this morning? I can tell. But actually, for the Greek scholars amongst you, because I know that's where you all side, if we go and have a look up there, look up your Strong's Concordance, for those that like looking back up in some of the words, and specifically, this has got a number 979. Strong's Concordance, it describes it like this: bios is a life, a manner of life, a livelihood, literally the present state of existence. By implication, the means of livelihood, good life, good living. I could even add living well, couldn't I? Yeah? I think God is saying something to us this year, and I'm excited about this. A few other definitions of this word bios. If we're going to get our soil right in 2017, if we're looking to 2018, what kind of life are we living? What is our bios? Our bios, God's gift of physical life, animating all creation to live and move and have its being. Figuratively, it says the way a person invests or spends the gift of physical life. What is your bios? Now, you might have seen the word used in another way, a biography. We've got the bios at the beginning, the biography. That is what? It's a record or an account of how we or somebody has invested or spent our physical lives. So as I was preparing for this service here at 2017, these thoughts are really much in my mind. And I found this statement, and I wish I could have sat down and rewritten it, but every time I tried to do it, I went back to this and went, this is really good. So this statement is what we're going to explore over these next 10 weeks. It says, how to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. It's quite a big one, but just think about that for a moment. How to live a life that's dedicated and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, something we're looking at in Hosea, full of love and grace, something we've been looking at in Ephesians, full of wisdom and discernment. God is, I think, pulling this together in this little final series for us. So that's going to kind of be the subtext. It doesn't actually fit on the computer. I tried to fit it at the top, but it only gives you so many characters, so it doesn't all fit up there. But if you want to jot that down, maybe I'll produce a little bookmark for us or something, and we can take that away and put it on the fridge. So with all these things, I was waiting for a starter, saying, God, okay, we're in, I'm hearing what you're saying for 2017. I'm getting an idea for 2018. And literally, as I woke up one morning, you know when you wake and God's just been kind of talking to you, you've been waking up, and I had all this stuff. And literally, before I even got out of bed, I'd written half a message thinking, wow, this is great. I love it when it flows like this. And God gave me a whole bunch of questions. He gave them to me first. So I sat down and I really, really pondered on them. But he said to me that this is what I want you guys to think about. So we've got a little bit of an introduction now, but there is going to be some interaction for you as well. Now, I have got some bits of paper that we'll hand out in a minute, but just to give these guys a heads up, we'll hand those out for you to have a look at. Now, what I want you to do is to think about some of these questions that we're going to put out today and really ponder on them. Because if God is speaking to us as church and he wants us to move to a certain place together, it's good to reflect on these questions. Now, you might instantly come up with the answer and say, great, job done, done all that one, what's next? Actually, over these next 10 weeks, I really want us just to keep coming back to these questions and really asking ourselves these particular things. The purpose of these questions, as I say, is to come back to that journey where we hopefully be able to set some goals. And that goal which we'll strive to will be to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. Who wants a life like that? Oh, it just, to me, it just feels like living water. That's kind of like, that's a living well statement. So, it's an interaction time for you. I want you to have a think about these questions. If the stewards would like to hand these sheets around, there should be enough for one each, but because you don't have to write on them, if you have to share this morning, I'll print some more out if we need them. So these are the questions as they come round. They're going to go up on the screen, but I want you to have these so you can take them away. The first question I want us to ask ourselves, and ask yourself this question a few times. Maybe think about it before you commit an answer, because I felt as God asked me, I really had to think about it. Really had to think about this question. Question one, what makes me me? Or what makes you you? I didn't know which way around to ask it. But if you're asking yourself the question, ask yourself the question, what makes me me? Have a think. Keep those answers. Because what I'd like you to do, if you are able, and if you want to jot any ideas down, you can obviously jot them down. But I'd like you to just think about that, because the challenge is over these next 10 weeks, I want you to really be able to answer that with all sincerity, with all integrity, and go, actually, no, this is what I'm like. This is me. I mean, add to that, because I've got a question two on there, maybe to get you think a bit further and maybe help unpack that. How would you define or describe yourself? That might be an easier way to start unpicking some of this. Or what defines you? Is it something you own or something that you do? Is that how you would say, well, I am like I am because? It's an interesting thought. What makes me me? Does question two change the way you're thinking now? I don't want to lead you too far, you see, because I want you to really, really think about this. It's an interesting challenge, isn't it? Have you ever thought about yourself like this before? What makes me me? Question three says, how would others describe you? And if you're brave enough, maybe you could ask someone close to you to be really honest. Say, well, be as honest as you dare. What makes me me? Would you want to hear what they say? Question four says, what shapes your behaviors and attitudes to life? Because actually what makes me me might be something either I've done or somebody that influences me. We've actually, as part of this year, we've had some healing ministries come in, some prayer ministries come in. We've been looking at our behaviours, particularly the word wounds. Most of us are wounded in some way, shape or form. Whether we've been Christians all our lives or not, there are things that come in and influence. There are those things that wound us. There might be things we've even been looking at here, the generational sins, sins of a father, sins of a grandfather. What stops you sometimes in your life? You get so far, you think, I do it fine every time, and then this thing comes, it just stops you dead again. Why does that always happen to me? What are those wounds? What are those things that have come down generationally? Why does it always go like that? Does that then shape your behavior and your attitude? Well, there's no point doing that because. Well, I could never be that because suddenly we are shaped by influences, things around us. Does that really challenge our attitudes? What makes you you? What makes me me? It's really good to go and sit down. If you in your quiet time want to sit down and just say, Lord, I just want to spend some time with you. I want to hang out with you and I want you to be really honest with me. Lord, what am I like? It is a really, really good thing to let the Holy Spirit come and just say, do you know what? This is holding us back here, isn't it? Well, this is something to celebrate. You're amazing. Why aren't you doing it? What makes me, me? We're called human beings. I'm playing with words now. I'm going to play with words a little bit here. We're called human beings. What is your being like? Luke 6:45 explains it like this. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, you might have learnt that last bit if the King James or New King James, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, or something similar. Whatever is within us is whatever the heart is full of, the mouth will speak. I guarantee if you go up to someone and say, hey, how you doing? You'll find out within a few moments what their heart is full of. It just comes out. This series, where we're heading over the next 9 weeks after this week, is what Jesus says about living in the kingdom of God. What is that kingdom of God like? Now, I am playing with words a little bit, but what is our attitude to being, as citizens of heaven, what should we be like? What attitudes should we have? Therefore, this is going to shape our be attitudes. Am I loud? There's not too many groans. But actually, what is our attitude to being? Our be attitudes. And that's where we're going to head with this series. Now, okay, if you put a space in Beatitudes and take a T out, that's where we're heading with it. But what are the Beatitudes? What is it like to be in the kingdom of God? Back in March, I showed a slide as part of the James series. I can't believe how quickly the year's going. This was actually back in March when we were doing James, and you might actually remember some of these slides. It was wrapped around a question, which was this: what did you want to be when you grew up? Can you remember that service? What did you want to be when you grew up? There wasn't too many people. There was a little guy that was visiting that week. He wanted to be a boxer, didn't he? That was quite interesting. What did you want to be when you grew up? I think probably rephrasing that now, the grew up bit, some of us have grown up. Just say maybe more simple. What did you want to be? What did you want to be? And actually, I don't know if you remember the slide. I'll pop it up on the screen now, but I don't know if you remember this slide. But this is something maybe a life coach will do. If you go and spend a small fortune with one of these life coaches, they will sit down, they'll look at your life goals, they'll get this five-year plan going, and then they'll look at the daily goals. Now, I didn't realize how much of an impact this actually had on a few people. But if we want to achieve those life goals, if we've put a marker in place, say, in 5 years' time, I want to be, what are we doing about it on a daily basis? That really, really impacted a few people. I mean, I've got a few of these on here. If you click the button, it might just start to scroll up gently. Life goals. If you want to manage a big company, the five-year plan might be to get to be a manager, but the short-term goal, every day, I'm going to be the best employee. Maybe you want to be debt-free at the moment. Over 5 years, well, I want to be less in debt. That's exactly where I'm going to be. On a daily basis, I'm going to pay off the small debts as I go. Maybe you want to be physically fit. You want that body that they put on the telly, a bit like mine, I'd imagine, but not like mine. But these fit people, we see all this stuff. That's my life goal. I'm going to be that person. Five-year plan. Well, I've got to get down to 160 pounds. Cool, that'd be nice. Stop having a hot temper, tidy the house, and be spiritually invested. These are the things that I want to do in order to be physically fit, a patient person, organized and clean. That's where I'm heading. What am I going to do on a daily basis? I can't think, whoa, in 5 years' time, boy, you've got to see me. It's going to be amazing. That, whoa. What's going to get me there is what I'm going to do on a daily basis. If I need to change my diet, if I need to eat less, I need to get myself more organized. Some people say they want to be a writer or a painter. Are you going to be that great artist? What do you do on a daily basis? Do you start sketching every day? Do you start trying and trying and trying again? If you're going to write that book, do you start writing out every day? Do you read other people's work? Do you just get yourself within those communities and those societies, those places where people are doing that stuff? And on a daily basis, that's what you do. And suddenly, 5 years' time, you find you're well on your way to your life goal. It's the things we do on a daily basis that's going to impact that long-term life goal. Now, we started this back in March. Did anybody back in March turn around and go, I'm changing something on a daily basis? Just out of curiosity, you have to tell me what it is. Did anybody make a change like that? Did anybody go, that's what I'm going to do different? You bought a planner, Ray. Brilliant. Have you used it? No, okay. There you go. So that's a good start. The thing is, we're 6 months on from that service in March. If there were those life goals, those things you wanted to do, that could have been 6 months of daily something towards achieving that five-year goal. Are we a defeated people that sits around thinking, I hope this is going to happen one day? Or are we a people that is going to set those daily goals, make those daily changes. Today I'm going to do this because I know in 6 months or 5 years' time, this is going to get me to the place where either I want to be or God is calling me to be. If we get those daily things right on a daily basis, you're going to set your BIOS. There you go. I've got the BIOS back in here. Your BIOS is back. What is your BIOS? What is it that you do on a daily basis? If your five-year plan, if that goal is how can I live a life that's dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment, what am I going to do on a daily basis to make that happen? What is it that God's saying to me? And this is what we're going to look at over these next 9 weeks or so. If you've got your fingers still in your Bible at Matthew 5, we're going to read Matthew 5, 1 through to 12. It's the beginning of the Sermon of the Mount. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. It starts, and it gives us some context here. Now Jesus saw the crowds, and he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Now just remember this, this is what Jesus is doing. He is teaching his disciples. There might be a massive crowd, but Jesus is teaching his disciples. It's called the Beatitudes. It puts it together as one word here. I like it in two. He said this. This is Jesus' words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now there might be a little gap, and you think that's eight. The ninth one says, blessed are you. Before it's been blessed are those. Blessed are you who insult people. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you want a life goal, if you want that heavenly reward, I'm going to have to make some changes to my daily life. And I think as church, whether it's the media putting a spin on it, I don't know. If you really come to church and you really know people, are we really like this? But is there a trend in churches where we're not living well? Living as defeated people rather than a victorious one? I mean, church, we've got to awake and arise. We're on the winning side. This is incredibly exciting. That power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in us. That should fill us with a real excitement that we go, wow, this is what the kingdom of God is like. But actually, we see presidents, former presidents, Barack Obama, you can go and look at some of his videos online, absolutely mocking the Beatitudes as part of one of his presidential campaigns. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, is so radical, it's doubtful that our Defense Department would survive its application. I don't know if that's true, Kevin, what do you think? We've got to live different, haven't we? If we live as man knows better than God, if we don't live according to the scriptures and we live as those that know better, there's actually a real thing. It's up on the screen. Man knows better than God. We end up with pride. And if you want to look at a parallel or the opposite to the Beatitudes this morning, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, we've had it before when we were back in James. It says this, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. The Lord hates a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the community. What is your attitude to being this morning? What is your attitude to being? Does it err on the side of some of that? Would others define you like that? Would others describe you like that? I'm going to wrap this up. We're not going to take too long this morning as an introduction. But we're going to look at this, the Beatitudes, over these next 9 weeks. So let's start just with a couple of basic understandings. Make sure we got the groundwork right with some of this. In the Beatitudes that I've just read to you, Jesus was actually speaking. And as you know, Jesus is that fulfillment of the Old Testament. There are many things that are proclaimed about Jesus. And you want to go and look at some of those parallels. You want to put the Beatitudes on one page and you want to look at where he's the fulfillment. Where is he coming and bringing the kingdom in? Isaiah 61 is a good place to put a bookmark. You will know it as I start to read it, and you might go, oh, I'd never lined that up with the Beatitudes before. Isaiah 61, the year of the Lord's favor. You will probably remember it well. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Wow. This was talking about Jesus coming all those years before. And Jesus is here and he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. There's a lot of similarities between that and the Beatitudes. What is it like for us as believers in his kingdom? We're going to find out over looking at these Beatitudes over the next few weeks. There's still some stuff to be fulfilled. Christ is coming back again for those who love him. Amen to that. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We're not going to look at a how-to. The Beatitudes aren't a how-to manual, but they are a full picture of what the kingdom of God is like. Now, there is a repeated pattern you will see in there in the Beatitudes, if you're still back there in Matthew. It starts with blessed are, doesn't it? Blessed are starts each sentence. Unfortunately, I suppose our cultural understanding, that translation now of that word, I've asked a few people now, if I said blessed, what would you say? Happy. Happy was the one I seem to get back the most. We should be happy. If we're blessed, we're happy. That's how it goes. Well, it doesn't say happy are. If it was said happy are, Jesus would have said happy are the people. So what does it actually mean? Rather, he's saying to his disciples, remember he's talking to his disciples, if you have that inner peace, that real joy, that quiet contentment in the knowledge of being right with God, then you are blessed. Think about that for a moment. If you are blessed, being happy, it might be an outworking of being blessed, but blessed isn't happiness. Blessed is that inner peace, that quiet contentment, that joy of knowing that we are right with God. And when you know you are right with God, you are blessed. So there might be troubles, there might be strife, there might be some horrendous things that are coming our way. In times of persecution, can we still be blessed? Of course we can. The world might look at us and say, well, they're certainly not blessed by God. Look at that one. Life's going to wherever in a handbag. But that person that has that inner peace that goes, no, whatever may come, I have that security in God. I am blessed. And once we start to get that kind of attitude, once we get that understanding and you go back and read the Beatitudes yourself, you'll start to go, oh, I understand what it's saying now. And we'll start to unpick that a bit more. Now, culturally at the time, there were different things going on. So we'll look at the cultural context and we'll try and fit each of those in as we actually go through this, our message here. But someone described blessing like this, and I love this. I thought it brought real joy to me. I thought I'd share it with you. And it described blessing like this. It says, in some ways, the Lord's declaration of blessed is a pledge of divine reward for the inner spiritual character of righteousness. In other ways, it is his description of the spiritual attitude and the state of people who are right with God. It's a divine reward for the inner spiritual character of righteousness. When we know we are right with God, he describes it as a description of spiritual attitude and a state of people who are right with God. That's what being blessed is about. Are you right with God this morning? Do you feel that blessing upon you, no matter what comes? It might be that you're in a time of testing at the moment. It might be your health is failing. It might be other things are going on in your family. It might be jobs aren't necessarily going. This will keep going. It will be like that your whole life. Are you blessed? Well, when you know you are saved, come what may. We were praying out the back, and we'll pray in a minute for the things that are going to be going on in Florida. What's important to the people there? I think as Dave was praying, I didn't see anyone packing up their swimming pools. Didn't actually see too many flat screen TVs on the cars or anything else. Their lives were important to them. That is what they were fleeing with, was their lives. So over the next 9 weeks, we're going to look at the Beatitudes. 8 blessed are they, as you will look for yourself, and 1 blessed are you statements. They're going to challenge our attitude. What is your attitude to living as kingdom people? What is your bios? What is that thing that connects your life together and makes you function in a certain way? And if there's things in your life, those attitudes which shape you and stop you and just allow you not to progress, those are the things that God says, let's come and break those chains. Let's come and set you free. Let's be that victorious people that when we leave here absolutely transformed and we go out and someone says to you, tell me, I hear a Christian. What's that all about? Well, let me tell you what God's done in my life. This is my bios. This is the way I live. I live entirely different now because of what God has done. The theme of the Beatitudes is righteousness. It's a standard of God's kingdom. So if we are kingdom people and you ask me what the standard is righteousness. And actually, I mentioned it right at the beginning, that call to action. If there's an action statement that you want this morning, what's my take home? It's up there. What does it say? Read it out. Yeah. Are you going to get on and start sowing that righteousness? What is your soil like? 2017 is disappearing. We can't use the soil much more. We'll say last year we were looking at the soil. 2018's coming. What is our bios? What is our direction? How are we wired? So you ready for that? Ready for 2018? Ready for the Beatitudes? I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.